Good morning, church. Our scripture reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown." This is the word of the Lord for us today.
Sometimes people just don't listen. Not you. No, I'm not talking about you. You're great listeners. No matter how many times you tell them, no matter how many different ways you try to explain it or warn them, sometimes people just don't listen. It's why when you see warning signs and warning labels, they're always bright colors. They're always big, bold letters. There are warning labels on everything, by the way, which also, I think, leads to us not paying attention because they're everywhere. And some of them, I've noticed, aren't very well thought out. Like I noticed on the back of a bottle of Windex, "Do not spray in your eyes." Now, who's... Or on a chainsaw, "Do not attempt to stop chain with hands." Probably shouldn't be operating the chainsaw. Or on one of those steering wheel locks, "Remove before driving." Or seen on a packet of airline peanuts, "Open and eat contents." Like, what else? What are you going to do with it? Keith, I can't get this thing down. Could you help me with that? Or on a computer, "Keyboard not detected. Press F1 to continue." Thanks, bro. Sometimes people just don't listen. When I say that, I'm actually echoing the words of Jesus. Jesus was emphatic about people listening. He was often calling people to listen. "Listen," he would say before he said something important. Or he would say, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And he wasn't merely talking about physical auditory hearing. I want to be clear on that. He was talking about comprehension, understanding, grasping the truth and the reality. And when Jesus spoke, it was about the kingdom of God. And so he's encouraging and imploring people, "Please listen. I want you to understand about the kingdom." And so one of the ways Jesus did this masterfully was to tell stories. We all love a good story, don't we? We're drawn in by a story. And so Jesus masterfully told stories that drew people in, that caught their interest, and they were listening, and they were engaged, and then it's actually a parable. And a parable is a story with a meaning. It's a Greek word. It's parabole. It's parable. It literally means to cast alongside, meaning like, there's a story, but running right alongside it is a biblical truth. And so Jesus told these stories as a way of saying, "Listen, I want to impart to you wisdom and truth about the kingdom of God, and so I'm going to tell you a story." And so today, we're going to hear a story that Jesus told. But let me introduce myself. My name is John Reisner. I serve as lead pastor here at MCA. Thrilled that you are with us today. For some of you, you're here every week. For others, you're a guest with us. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow stronger in the Lord. Today is the start of a brand new sermon series. We're doing the parables of Jesus for this summer. So we're going to be hearing 12 of these different parables. I should also say, we'll have a number of people speaking this summer. So it won't all just be stories told from John. It's going to be some of our elders and other church leaders who will be sharing in this as well. And the first parable that we're going to start with, I hope you brought your Bible with you, is in Matthew chapter 13. Go ahead and open your scriptures to Matthew chapter 13. We know it as the parable of the sower. Lakota read this for us a few minutes ago. He read the parable. Jesus gives the explanation in that same chapter. And it's a parable about listening, hearing. It's a parable about how will people respond to this good news of the kingdom of God. And Jesus makes this really, really clear that understanding and embracing this message is a good thing. He wants people to understand. He doesn't speak in parables so that people will fall away and not understand. He does it as a way to draw people, and he wants them to ask questions. Like, what does that mean? He makes this clear in verse 16. So we're in Matthew chapter 13. In verse 16, he says, "Blessed are your eyes." This is with his disciples as he explains what the parable means. "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." Oh, church, that we would pray for and long for eyes that see and ears that hear. That we would understand and comprehend the message of Jesus. And so what I want to do this morning is walk through this parable. We're going to have Jesus as our teacher and guide as he explains it and helps us to understand it. See, people can receive the word of God, according to this parable, in one of four ways. And so they're represented by different soils. The first is the soil, which is actually just the pathway. It talks about the farmer who scattered the seed, right? And some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. These are the people who are hard-hearted. They won't listen. Some people just don't listen. But they also don't care. And as a parent, those are some of the most frustrating times. When you're warning your children, when you're helping your children, when you're correcting your children, and they just don't seem to be listening. So when Jesus tells this parable, he talks about the seed sown on the path, and it's quickly eaten up by the birds. It's snatched away. He reveals the meaning of it in verse 19. We're in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus says, "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart." He says, "This is the seed sown along the path." Now, Jewish farming practice was to sow your seed by broadcasting it. You would have a bag full of the seed, you would use your hands, and you would broadcast it really kind of far and near. Now think about on a windy day, you can't really help where that seed goes, where that seed lands. And so inevitably, some of it is going to fall on the path. And that's just an easy meal for hungry birds. So this would have been a very common sight for those who are listening to the teaching in the parable of Jesus. It's like, "Oh, yeah, that happened to me yesterday. Oh, yeah, I see that happening right now as you're preaching." I just wonder how many times after this that Jesus uses this beautiful illustration, this parable, to teach truths of the kingdom of God, did someone see the seed going on the path and the birds coming and feasting and think of Satan snatching away the word of God? It didn't find good soil. It didn't rest in those hearts of the hearers. It was snatched away. I wonder, from that point on, how many times in this very common scene did people think of that? We know that's what the work of the enemy is. Like Jesus tells us that clearly in John 10:10 about the enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So this is an example of the devil stealing. You notice there, if we look closely at verse 19, that Jesus says they hear the message, yes, but they do not understand it. And that's where preachers go, gulp. That's where heralds of the good news of the kingdom of God, messengers, those who proclaim it, which is you and I, which is all followers of Jesus, in our neighborhoods and workplaces and schools. That's where each and every one of us go, okay, so it's really important that as I share the good news of Jesus, I do so with a great amount of clarity. That we share very clearly, hey, here's what the Bible says. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life, the second half of that verse. Don't let Satan bring confusion. Let's be clear on the message of the gospel and what we're proclaiming. Because Jesus says for these people, they didn't understand it. And so we stand against our spiritual enemy when we clearly state what the Bible says, this good news of a God who sent his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him won't perish, will have everlasting life. So that's the first soil, that's the path. And the birds come and they take it away. The second is the rocky places. And it says of these individuals, when they hear the message of God's kingdom, they respond with joy. Wow, that's awesome. They're very enthusiastic in hearing it. They're excited. But they have no root. And so they fall away. Specifically when trouble or persecution comes. Let's see what Jesus says here. We're in Matthew chapter 13, on to verse 20. He says, the seed falling on rocky places refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Kanye West made a public declaration of faith in the year 2019. He is a rapper. If you don't know who he is, that's okay. In fact, he released an album that some of us listen to because it was Christian music. Jesus is King was the title of the album. He was very public about putting his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I couldn't help but notice that this year in February, after releasing a completely and totally different kind of album with a completely different message, he did an interview and he said, I have my issues with Jesus. He said, there's a lot of stuff I went through that I prayed and I didn't see Jesus show up. I had to put all that I was dealing with in my own hands. He was probably one of the most high-profile followers of Jesus on planet Earth. But he didn't have roots. And over the last few years, he faced a ton of criticism, and he walked through a bunch of weird stuff in his personal life and his public life, and he says Jesus wasn't there. Now, I'm not trying to pick on any individual this morning. I just see in that, and in many others, this worldview that says, well, I don't follow Jesus anymore because I walked through some really tough times. I've had that conversation countless times. You following Jesus? You walking with the Lord? Nah. How come? Where was he when my mom got sick? Where was he when my spouse left me? It's this worldview that says, I want to be in control of my life. And so if Jesus doesn't come through in the ways I want him to, then I don't have any need for him. You know, some of us really struggle with giving lordship to Christ. We want to be in control. But guys, listen, we don't follow Jesus because it makes life easier. We don't follow Jesus because he helps us accomplish all of our goals and dreams and desires. No. Jesus promises in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. He'll be with us. He'll see us through, and his ways are not our ways. So let me just implore you, when you go through those rocky places, and we all do, don't turn against him. Don't say, where was he when I needed him? Recognize he is indeed with you and helping you and blessing you. He'll set your feet on the rock that is higher. So trust him. So we've talked about the seed that fell on the path. We've talked about the seed in the rocky places. The third is the seed that fell among thorns. All right, so for these individuals, you hear the message of the kingdom, you understand it, and you grow. And you used to love worshiping and going to Bible study and fellowshipping with other believers and talking to unbelievers about your faith and doing service projects and spending time with the Lord in prayer. You're on fire for Christ, but then life gets in the way. And you know what the number one thing is as I talk with followers of Jesus about, hey, are you in the Word and are you walking with the Lord? You know what the number one thing I hear is? I'm busy. Life gets in the way, doesn't it? I'm busy. I still believe. But, doing all the Bible study and the service projects, and I don't have time for those things anymore. I got to keep up with my work and my mortgage and my car payment and my friends and my activities. You got to keep up with your social media, right? Like, you got to see what's shaking on TikTok. These are the seeds that are sown among the thorns. You start to worry and you start to focus on money and problems and life and doing the things that you want to do. Here's what Jesus says about the seed that's sown among thorns. Verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it what? Say it again. Help me. That's like a dagger. Unfruitful. Servants of Christ. Lord, here am I. Send me. What can I do? Who can I reach? Who can I serve? Who can I bless? And he says, no, you don't do any of that. You just say you believe, but you're too caught up in your own world and your own problems and chasing after money, whether you've got too much or you've got too little. You get so busy grasping at everything that you lose hold of the thing that's truly most important. And you could tell me or your friend or the person sitting next to you the things that really used to help you grow spiritually, but in the same conversation you would say, but I don't do those things anymore. If you're honest, you really worry more than you pray. And no, the devil has not managed to snatch that seed away from you like he did on the path, but he has certainly destroyed any fruitful results of the seed being planted in you. Heard the story about a mother and her son who went to the grocery store. They went on a trip and they bought a bunch of items. And as they returned home and the mom is unpacking the groceries and putting things where they go, she looks over and she notices the boy who has gotten out the pack of animal crackers. And not only has he torn open the pack of animal crackers, but he has actually managed to scatter them all across the kitchen table. And he's not eating them. He's actually looking through each of them fervently, checking each one of these animal crackers. And the mother says, what you doing? The boy says, well, I saw on the package it says, do not eat if the seal is broken. So I'm looking for the seal to see if it's broken. See, there's nothing wrong with the animal crackers. They were totally fit for consumption. And in the case of this seed that has been sown among the thorns, there's really nothing wrong with the soil. There's really nothing wrong with this environment. It's not too hard like the path. It's not too rocky with the shallow soil. It's got the depth needed. It's got everything that's needed. It's not the soil that's the problem. It's what's in the soil. Because it's not just the seed producing the wheat or the grain or the corn or whatever is planted there. There's also thorns there. Has Satan attacked you by planting that thorn of worry? Where you just mull things over and you run worst case scenarios and you fret, how's this going to turn out? What am I going to do? And isn't it interesting? One of the things that we worry about is money. And those are the exact two things that Jesus calls out here is worry and money. We worry about having enough or not having enough and all the things that money can then get for us. And Jesus says very clearly in Matthew chapter 6, listen. There it is again. There it is again, the heart of our Savior who says, I want you to hear, listen. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So I'll say this, as we talk about the parable of the sower, the path, the rocky places, the thorns. It's always most convicting for me. It's always the one that jumps out as, man, I still believe, but am I unfruitful? Maybe it's true for you as well, that this is the one that really sort of hits home. Am I the thorny soil that has allowed other things to creep into my world and my life? So I haven't fallen away, but I'm not producing a crop. So I thought it would be fun this morning. I did a deep dive this week, and I want to share with you from the scriptures, what is spiritual fruit? If we have that desire, that eagerness to say, I want to be fruitful for God's kingdom, well, there are six passages that talk about spiritual fruit in the Bible. And so I want to share those with you. I've distilled them down. Bearing spiritual fruit. And honestly, this is imagery that the Apostle Paul loved to use. Five out of the six are from him. The first is the fruit of the Spirit. You're probably familiar with that from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When the Holy Spirit is in you, these are the things that arise. These are the things that flow out of you. That is spiritual fruit, when your life is characterized by those things. The next is holiness. This is a teaching from Paul in Romans chapter 6. He says, having been set free from sin and having become enslaved to God, you have your fruit resulting in holiness. And then he says the outcome is eternal life. If you're taking notes, that's Romans 6, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, holiness. The next is generosity. Romans 15, 26, 27, and 28. The next is good works. We're just gonna touch on these. You could study these more in depth later, I think. Colossians 1, 10. Paul commends the church there for their faith in Christ and their love for one another, and he refers to their good works as fruitfulness. The next is praise. This is in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. It says, offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. I mean, this study is really impactful for me as I go, I want to be the kind of soil that is fruitful. And so as I look at these verses and these passages and this teaching that says, is that what my life looks like? Is that what is flowing out of me? Because it's really not, I'm going to try to be more patient. I'm going to try to be more holy. It's, I'm a servant of Christ. I belong to him. Here I am, Lord. Work in me and through me, and I trust you. Let me give a bonus one here, because this was kind of just weighing on my heart and mind that God clearly views childbearing as fruitfulness. Like clearly, that is obvious that he commands humanity over and over and over to what? Be fruitful and multiply. Like he says that to us. And yes, I would say this command is primarily speaking about the physical, tangible fruit of the womb. Yes, absolutely. But it is undeniable. Raising up godly children, I mean, that's spiritual fruit. I don't think that can be discounted as we talk about the kingdom of God. So that's a bonus one. Having children, raising them in the ways of God and teaching them. That is fruitfulness. So we've talked about 5, 6 with that bonus one, and the final spiritual fruit mentioned in the Bible is soul winning. The fruitfulness of bringing in the harvest. This is certainly what Jesus is getting at with the parable of the sower. Paul uses that same analogy. That's in Romans 1 and verse 13. The fruit of soul winning. So I would say this, let's get fruity. Are we being fruitful for God's kingdom? Is that what we're recognizing in each other? And if you spend time today in a Sunday school class following, one of the questions there that's on the discussion guide is, take a few minutes in the context of that spiritual faith community to call out the fruitfulness you see in one another. In her, I see these things happening. God is at work. In him, I see this fruit coming to fruit. So leaders, consider taking time to do that this morning. Okay, the fourth and final soil from Matthew chapter 13, it's the good soil. It's the one we kind of want to rush to. It's the one we want to go, yeah, good soil. These are people who understand the good news, and guys, their lives are forever changed. And I think it's because they fully understand this message from Jesus. And so what do? They die to self. And in that dying to self and availing to Christ, God uses them to see his kingdom grow. So go to verse 23. We're in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus says, the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. When you truly understand, when you have eyes to see, ears to hear, you give your entire life for it. It is the treasure that is more valuable than anything else. And in so doing, what God does in your life and through you is produce a harvest. It's just fruitfulness, abounding and overflowing. And so I'd like to share with us this morning, as we long to be good soil, that really there are three responsibilities. This parable of the sower leaves us with these three action steps, three applications. And the first is, we need to hear the word. These things are not going to arise when we saturate ourselves in the message of the world. The ungodly, the pagan, the unbiblical, the uninformed of things theological. We must hear the word. Jesus says this over and over and over. He says it right here in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 13. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And this is an imperative, by the way. So it's not an invitation. It's not a declaration. It's an instruction. Hear the word. Study the Word of God. Sit under the teaching of God's Word. Memorize Scripture, recite Scripture, sing it, meditate on it, read it in different translations. I know some of us get stuck in a rut with our favorites. Try a different English translation. Read through the Scriptures in that. It will strike you in fresh new ways. Read it voraciously, but also read it prayerfully. And as you read it, ask questions. Make observations, use commentaries, use dictionaries, use maps, use paraphrases. We must hear the word of God. That's clear from this parable. The second is to dwell in the word of God. And I should say, let the word of God dwell in you as well. Right? It's not that God isn't speaking. It's not that God doesn't have a message for you. It's that so often we're not listening. And so for the Word of God to dwell in me and for my life to dwell in the Word of God, it means that I make time to listen to God's voice. And so the Scripture is incorporated into my daily life. Get creative. What role does the Bible play in your life? How can you incorporate the truth of God's Word? You can post Bible verses around your house or in your bathroom or in your car or in your place of work. You can have podcasts or the Bible app playing the Scriptures. You can set aside time each and every day to simply sit at the feet of your Creator and your Savior, to study, to listen. And when you do that, you get rooted in Jesus. Remember the rocky places? They had no roots. They fell away. You get rooted in Jesus when you're rooted in His Word. So yes, Paul says this clearly in Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And then finally, we are to share the word. And that Colossians 3:16 just really touched on that. As we teach one another, as we admonish one another, as we proclaim these good truths, clearly, in the parable of the sower, when the seed is planted in you and it finds that fertile soil, we hear it, we dwell in it, and then what overflows from that is a proclamation that really we become the farmer in the parable, and we begin sowing seeds in the lives of others. God's good news of the gospel is to be shared. I mean, that's the nature of good news, isn't it? Like, when you have good news, you want to share it. You don't keep it to yourself. And also, listen, when you get in the habit of sharing the gospel and the good news with others, you learn it better yourself. When you have to teach something, any material for that matter, you learn it better yourself. You master it. What you teach, you master. And so let's be encouraged this morning to grow in our ability to articulate and proclaim and share the good news of the kingdom of God, of a Savior who loved us so much that he gave his life, that he took our place on the cross of Calvary, and that when we put our trust in him, we have the hope of eternal life. What good news. The scriptures say, if we don't proclaim it, the rocks will cry out. Share the good news. Share the word. And then leave the results to him. I think some of us, we have the impression that we've got to make the church grow. We've got to be the one through our own efforts. But God calls us to sow seeds. God calls us to be a blessing and to make much of him and to offer our lives and just see the fruit that results as he works in us. Scriptures say some plant the seed, some water it, but God makes it grow. See, that's a work of God. That's the work of God. He's the one who makes it grow. And so whether you lead 30 people to Christ, or 60 people to Christ, or 100 people to Christ, like, that's not the point. The point is, he's looking for men and women, young men, young women, boys and girls, who will serve him, who will bring in the harvest. You know what Jesus says very clearly? He says, the harvest is plentiful. Don't be discouraged when you see the unbelieving world. Don't say, it's just going to hell in a handbasket. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. But the workers are few. How are we going to do all this work? How are we going to bring in the lost? How are we going to heal the broken? He says, I need you. I need you to share the word with others. I need you to be open to the word of God impacting your life and dwell in it. And then overflowing from that, this message that the world so desperately needs to hear. Like, church, let's be a generation who is good soil, who produces a crop where we hear the word, we understand it, we're dwelling in it, we're standing on the truth of God's world. Even, listen, when the world around us is so twisted and so crooked and so perverse, and they try to lure us in, and Satan attacking, trying to get us to worry and be filled with greed. Let's be a generation that says, we're going to proclaim very simply what the Bible says. Jesus is Lord. And I choose him as Lord over my life. And you can too. In fact, the scriptures say, everyone, Romans 10:13. Who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What good news. I pray that we would be set apart as holy, that we would be generous, that we would be filled with praise and abounding in love, that we would press on to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world, that his kingdom would grow, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you for Jesus and his amazing teaching and storytelling, these parables that draw us in, that captivate us, and and to inspire us with these biblical truths. And I pray today, Lord, for the heart of each and every person. Those that are gathered here, those that are listening, Lord, would you find in us good soil? Would you find in us a willingness to die to self, that we might be the seed planted from which grows a crop and a harvest? The harvest is plentiful, you said, Lord, but the workers are few. Sign us up, Lord. Here are we, servants of the Most High God. Send us and use us, O God, not for our sake, not for our glory, but to you be the honor and the glory, for yours is the kingdom and the power forever and ever. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand to your